Tom intestines.
Right.
Like coming out of like, give me a break.
It's ridiculous. All right, so that will wrap up our horror movie discussion for now. Divakar is here, so I'm going to play a song and get those guys set up. And we still have tickets to give away. Numbers here are 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636 or 781-350-3264. We are here for another hour. As we come up on 10 o'clock, we'll play a song as we go get Divakar set up. And you're listening to Brutal Brunch on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. And here is some Metallica.
Out.
Welcome back to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. That was Metallica, All Nightmare Long, off of Death Magnetic, which followed up their greatest album and their discography, in our opinion. And we have Diva Carr here in the studio. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming in bright and early here on a Sunday morning.
No problem. Thanks so much for letting us.
So we got Adam. You play drums?
I play drums,
excellent.
Yes.
And then also Adam, but goes by Art.
Yep. I play bass.
Excellent. And thank you for coming in. And we were actually discussing off air before we came on about the mule that you have out and the cover of the mule.
Yeah.
And what was the background on that?
Yeah. So our vocalist, John, really liked, there was some obscure Hungarian movie that he was really into. I don't remember
what it was.
This guy probably
knows it.
I don't know. You have any ideas? Anyways, so, I think it was the Tour and Horse. I think that's what it was.
He does talk about that.
Yeah, so he really liked that movie and he wanted to use a screenshot from it, from, I guess, one of the important parts. I haven't seen it yet.
No, me neither.
Yeah.
He keeps talking about it. It's like
we
really
probably
long?
Should.
Is that the one that's like really long?
He talks about another movie that's like 7 hours that we need to to watch with
that
him because it'll be a spiritual event.
Yeah.
That's a different one.
Okay.
So anyways, it's a screenshot from that. I think it's actually a horse.
Yeah.
But
from the top up, it could be a mule. Like, you're not seeing the little mule body.
Yeah. I guess it's hard to tell from the neck up whether it's a horse or a mule. Like, what are the defining characteristics?
We could be working with a reverse centaur.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen the movie,
it's just human legs below
human
the
legs.
Neck.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
And you can get that on Bandcamp. And so, why don't you tell us what Diva Carr is all about? Style you guys play, how the band came together.
Okay.
So originally it was John and Chris. John does vocals, Chris does guitar and electronics, and some, as he says, co-vocals, but backup vocals on a couple of songs. So they, I don't know, what was it? A few years ago, they started it with another drummer who left. So then Adam joined, 2 years ago?
Yeah, probably about a little over 2 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, and then that time, John was playing bass, but then about almost a year ago, I guess 9 months ago, 11 months ago, I joined on bass, so that's, better lineup since then, I guess.
Yeah, so we play like, I guess noisy black metal.
Yeah.
It's real get in, get out black. It's like, oh my God.
It's like a little bit grindcore-y.
Yeah. A little bit
experimental, I guess.
You refer to it as gross a lot.
We try to. A little bit.
Gross metal.
Gross metal. Yeah, we could make up a new genre, I guess.
Gross metal. Put it out there, gross metal.
Yeah,
it's like post metal. Ours is gross metal.
I'm gonna start commenting and be like, "This is gross metal, everybody." So please
do.
Yeah,
be
get on the message boards and.
So I'm gonna get on.
Yeah, we just talk about.
Sounds great.
Talk about hashtags that we could try and figure out for our social media stuff, and I could do hashtag gross metal.
We can do hashtag gross metal. Hashtag music.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. And how did you get into that style?
I grew up in Ohio, so it was like a lot of weird metal stuff, like not really good metal scene in Ohio.
Okay.
So, but when I moved here, like I started getting a lot more into like more obscure metal because there's just more metal around here. So growing up, I was more into like punk, folk punk, crust punk, stuff like that, and like liking metal, but not having a good local scene at all in Ohio. Then moving here and discovering like, oh, there's actually a metal scene here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got into it growing up. I was in metal bands. I was into deathcore when I was in high school or whatever.
Sure.
And I was in deathcore bands. And
I still love deathcore.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's great. And then I started getting into some other kinds of heavier music, and I really liked the stuff that's a little bit raw, more aggressive and energetic, and because playing the drums for that type of music is just amazing. It's super fun.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I just kind of went from there. It seemed like I met up with John and Chris, our vocalist and guitarist, and it seemed like they were interested in doing something like that, so we started playing music together. It's been great.
Very cool. And you mentioned the scene in Boston and pretty strong metal scene, and can you talk a little bit more about that? Because there are other bands you get along with that you've played with, and just generally what the scene's like, and does it kind of differ between different styles of metal. Like, a lot of people associate Central Mass with metalcore, and there's a lot of stoner metal and stuff like that, and then there's more extreme metal.
Yeah.
We just played a show, was it last Saturday?
Yeah.
It's got the Summit at the Elks, Cambridge Elks Lodge, or the Hardcore Stadium, whatever. That was a lot of fun. There's a lot of noise bands. That was like, I don't know, that was a lot of fun. We really enjoyed that. There's been a few other bands we really like that we've been playing with. It's a band called Armpits we like a lot that we're playing a show with probably December 7th. Yeah. We haven't like got like for sure confirmation, but probably December 7th at PA's Lounge with Armpits. They're great. We like them a lot.
Armpits seems pretty gross.
Yeah, right. That's right. our gross metal wheelhouse.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing that's great about the scene here is I've noticed there's more avenues for experimental music. Like, just like Art mentioned, we just played a show like a week ago, and there were like seven bands. There was us, like more metal, metal bands, and then there was like an indie rock band, and then there were like three experimental noise bands where it'd be like one, two or three people just making noise.
Awesome. Yeah, we played with this like a solo artist named it's Dog, but it's like plus Dog plus.
Oh yeah.
Who was we all liked it. It's like harsh noise.
Yeah, very harsh.
Yeah, like I guess you got to start in Osaka in the 90s.
Yeah.
And yeah, awesome harsh noise band. And then we played with Panicsville from Chicago, who's also like a I think it's a three piece.
Yeah.
But they're like really cool noise. They had like multimedia projection stuff. It was really, cool. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's something that's interesting for me. I grew up in California, and we didn't really have that type of stuff over there. And now it's really awesome to see those types of things.
Yeah, and we do a lot of noise stuff in between songs. So it was like it was just really interesting to see other bands what they're doing and trying to learn from it, I guess.
Yeah.
And do you find that sort of that style of music? Actually, there was even some of it. I went to the ICA a couple of years ago, and there was a, like this little feature, and you mentioned kind of the projection and visual stuff. But like, sort of noise metal, noise music is I can almost compare it to kind of modern art. Like, do you find that it's for fans or for people that's is there like a group of niche fans that get into it? Is it like an acquired taste for people? Like, how do you describe it to people?
I mean, I think it seemed like the crowd that was at the show because of how many noise bands there were. As a lot of people are just into that, like maybe not specifically the bands, but they're just into like noise stuff in general, because it's always different every time you see it.
I think it's tough. I think it depends on the band, I guess. I think some of it really is kind of tough to get into, and you almost have to appreciate it more intellectually than just emotionally, where you don't like just groove to some of the noisier stuff.
Yeah, you're not going to be like headbanging to harsh noise.
Yeah, but some of it isn't like that. Some of it, I think, like the plus dog plus, like I thought that was great. Like you didn't have to appreciate it. You could just listen to it, and it was just intense and emotional, and you could just vibe off of it like that. You didn't, there wasn't another step to appreciating it. So I don't know, maybe it depends on the band, like the conventions they use when they're writing music, whether it's sort of easier to get into or harder.
Yeah, I think there's also a three-piece band there that they're kind of collaboration friends. They weren't like a set band, but it was more like performance art where they had photosensitive synth stuff. So there's like also like light shows kind of going on, and like
it just becomes like performance art in a way.
Yeah, and there was a two-piece there that was like pretty performance art oriented. The guy, like, I don't know, he has a weird setup and you start smashing the stuff. Yeah. So like, you know, it doesn't come across on a record, but you're there in person, you're like, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah, there was an acoustic guitar in it. He would tap it, and it would like make it, it was hooked up to a contact mic or something. So it would like ring out, and then as the song or performance got more intense, he just started hitting it, and then he started smashing it.
Through it.
Yeah. It was crazy. It was cool.
That seems to be the way into that kind of music, though, where you feel like you just like listening to some of the stuff off Mule. I feel like just overwhelmed for like that's kind of the feeling. You're like, ugh.
Yeah.
And then it's over, and you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
And then you're like, ugh, again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's because like, you're not gonna like nod your head to
Right.
Yeah.
You're not. I'm not gonna be throwing spin kicks in the, in the pit to it.
Yeah.
But it's still there's something there that I think is could has like more mass appeal because I think everyone's gonna want. Everyone feels that emotion, so you can like you could connect with that in a larger scale as opposed to like looking at it as like a, you know, like scratching your chin and being like, oh, interesting. Like, I feel like it does, it can connect at a more core level.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's what we were going for. So I hope it came across well.
I mean, what goes into the writing process, writing and recording that?
Yeah, so the writing, you want to go ahead.
So, like right now we're working on recording a full length. Finishing up some songs, trying to start recording at the end of the beginning of the year. But I mean, it's definitely a collaboration. And a lot of times, usually Chris will bring up, like, have some riffs, or like I'll bring something, or like a lot of times we just jam stuff out and this, you know, just jam out and make stuff up for, I don't know, a while. And if there's anything in there that we like, we'll pull it out and try and make something more of it.
Yeah, I think the writing process, I don't know. In the other bands, or so I've been in a few other bands, and I feel like every band does it a little different. I know. The last band I was in, someone would write like a whole song and bring it in, and then we would all sort of add our parts, and that worked great. It was easy. In this band, a lot of what we do is just sort of jam out parts, so we'll just get together and then just start playing. Like 90% is horrible, and then 10% is okay, and then like 1% is usable.
Yeah,
and it can be a little frustrating sometimes. I mean, we play just for hours and don't have anything to show for it. Yes. Trying to write a song.
Sometimes it's easier than others. There's been a few songs where like we spent weeks on it, and we're like, this whole song isn't good. So
and we just
let's just try
it
something completely different. And sometimes we'll like a couple weeks ago we like. Just randomly played a couple things. We're like, that's great, and then like that was the song after like a practice. That was pretty much done. So it just depends.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
kind of like fishing. You're like going out there. You're like, well, nothing today.
I know. Yeah, that's what it feels like sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And I another thing about the writing process is we all have different sort of musical backgrounds.
Yeah.
Chris, the guitarist, is really into like noisy, just black metal and drone stuff. John is into more death metal, I think. Adam or Art is into
more like sludge doom. That's because it's more bass heavy anyway, so it's easier to draw inspiration from it.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know what I'm into. It's
experimental stuff. I mean,
I'm not as into like the noisy droney stuff. I like more defined drums. I mean, I play drums, but so when we write a part, it has to appeal to all of us, and that can be a little tough sometimes because we have these different sort of musical influences. Mm-hmm. So maybe Chris will write a part that he loves because he's really into noisy, droney stuff, but no one else will really get it the way that he does.
Yeah.
And then we end up just scrapping it. So stuff that happens with a lot of the writing that we do.
But I think it makes it, because we have all these influences that are like more geared towards like our instrument, it makes our music a little more interesting.
Yeah,
because it's a lot more like kind of spread out. We're not just writing one genre.
Yeah,
we're all trying to make each other happy in different songs in different ways.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah,
great. And well, we've been talking about it, so why don't we play a couple tracks off of Mule? So I have this queued up. Is there a certain song that you want to start out with?
Maybe my favorite song is Earth for My Mule.
Okay,
out of the
title track,
few on the. It's not the type.
Well, Earth for My Mule's name.
Okay, yeah.
Right. Mule's the album. To it, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So yeah, this is Earth for My Mule off of Mule by Diva Carr. And we have Adam and Art in studio here on Brutal Brunch on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
having trouble focusing in school.
Having trouble finding Connor's middle school? Would you like directions?
No, why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Finding lowest airfare to Istanbul.
No, I'm tired of fighting with him over homework.
Home, walk, restaurant. Need a review?
No, I need help. He's very smart, but his mind wanders. He's disorganized.
I think I understand.
Oh, good.
Finding best potatoes for French fries.
No!
Russet, fingerling, Yukon gold.
Why don't you understand me?
Sorry, I was trying to show how Connor feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues, designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
Captain Over Brunch here on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. We have Diva Carr in the studio, and you can also still win tickets. We're giving away tickets to Cattle Decapitation Revocation and then Despised Icon.
Oh, nice.
So if you want to call in, talk to Adam and Art from Diva Carr, win those tickets. Numbers here are 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636 or 781-350-3264. And Art just played for you Two Snakes by The Body. Before that, we played Earth for My Mule off the Diva EP called Mule. So yeah, you were telling us about The Body, which seemed pretty cool, and their choir that they have.
Yeah. So The Body, they're from Rhode Island, but yeah, they do a lot of collaborations. And sometimes they have like a choir. They've done splits and collaborations with Thou, Full of Hell, and a couple other bands. They've been around for a long time. They're two piece. They're awesome. I like them a lot because they have like really interesting stuff. They do a lot of electronics and sampling and things like that. So I think kind of in our band, sometimes I don't know, try and write stuff sort of like that. Mm-hmm. Just interesting stuff. We're talking about Chris, the guitarist. He also has, does electronics. He's a big fan of them too, The Body.
Yeah. The great drum set, that picture you sent me of the drum set. It's the toms like curved down and out instead of just like a normal tom that's just like a cylinder.
Yeah, I don't know what company it is. I was like researching a little bit. Sometimes you see like these drums that they look like they have a big like almost like a like tuba bell type of shape, but they're coming out like towards the audience, so you're just hitting the drums or just blasting.
He looked like the horn of Gondor.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about how you guys incorporate electronics into your stuff and, you know, queuing up stuff or like analog synth.
Yeah.
How big is that thing?
Oh, it was, I don't know, what is it, like two feet by 1 foot or something? It was like...
Well, he has a new one now that's smaller, but the one that he had. Bigger. Yeah, it was like weird shape because it
was like the size of an accordion.
Yeah. It looks like if you see the old pictures of like a switchboard. You know, like a telephone
operator.
Yeah, because it's got all the quarter-inch jacks and or eighth-inch jacks, and so you plug it in for different stuff.
Yeah, I still don't understand it. Like, I don't know how that works, that you just plug things into other things and it makes noise.
Yeah, well, it's like routing the signal into different paths, so you can... I mean, you can do it by pressing a button, but it's cooler if you have cables that physically go from one part to the other. It looks a lot more intense.
Yeah, that's... It was crazy. Like, I don't know how he played it.
Yeah.
And one question I wanted to ask was, I was listening to an interview on another show that you guys were on, but talking about the Metal Hammer comp that you were on. Did that ever come out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was crazy. I don't know how we got on there, because we have, like, this one EP.
Yeah.
But somehow we were featured on an episode, or an issue.
It was
of Metal Hammer.
It was April or
March?
I
think it was...
So if you look on our Instagram, Diva Carr Band, I posted it. I think it was April.
Yeah.
We were on the Sounds of the Underground issue of like the insert. They have like, it was like 10 or 11 like smaller bands, underground bands, in there that you can get in the physical magazine.
Yeah.
So yeah, somehow we got on it. It was surprising. We're pretty excited.
Yeah, it's our name is on like the front right above. Just Iron Maiden's feature or whatever. Like,
yeah, we're on the cover, kind of. Our name is. It's small, but it's on there.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was great.
And so what did they, like, email you to tell you, or did you just find out? How did you...
We had to sign some release or something, and they paid us, like, £1, because it's a British magazine.
Oh, okay.
And then I don't remember how we got contacted. I think Chris dealt with that.
Yeah, well, I think...
Oh, was it before you were
Ken
in the band?
No,
oh,
it was like during.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Ken McIntyre, Sleaze Grinder, who's like a kind of a local.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he does like a lot of, he's on Scat TV,
Heavy Leather, Topless Dance Party.
We've been on a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting. If you have Somerville Public Access at, is it Wednesdays at
Wednesdays
10?
I think 9? It's 8, right?
8? I don't know.
It's a crazy
local,
show.
Local
great
listings.
Show.
Yep. Yeah, so we were on the first episode and the 8th episode.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like a variety, show, but all around, like, I don't know, metal, underground. Like, they have, like, wrestling and stuff like that.
Local music. And
yeah, local music.
I think we sort of got the Metal Hammer issue through him.
Yeah, he's a contributor for them sometimes.
Yeah, he's a music journalist.
Okay. Yeah.
That show seems like right up my alley.
I was going to say, it's perfect for the show. Are you guys wrestling fans too?
Yeah,
the Boston League of Women's Wrestlers, they changed the name. What is it now? League of...
I don't remember. I just remember the old name. They played a show like a week ago. It was Boston League of Women Wrestlers. Yeah. BLOWW for short.
Yeah.
Right. And hilarious.
They were on it, though. They were on the... Yep. Scat TV show.
Yeah, one of the members was also a host on that show. They go on sometimes and just wrestle.
Yep.
Yeah. Like that. So there's a little bit of wrestling in there.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's a fun time for everyone.
Yep. Yep.
Something for everyone. Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
That's nice.
Anyway, so he liked our stuff and decided to put us all in the comp along with a bunch of other bands, so which we were psyched about.
Yeah, it was great.
Really cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
Right there, you run on top, then it says like here's a 4-page review of Iron Maiden's New Year, The Trooper,
right? Yep.
Stout.
I framed it. I mean, I don't know if you have it.
I have one. I haven't framed it or anything.
It's great.
Yeah.
And another pub that you're in online, but Noisy debuted.
I don't know. We just got really lucky with some of this exposure.
That something that you submitted for, or that they just picked up on?
John somehow is like. Talks with Kim Kelly on Twitter, I think.
Oh, okay.
Somehow, and I don't know, bugged her enough that she did a write-up for us and debuted our music video that we did in the practice space on Noisy. So
yeah, it was amazing. We got a debut music video on Noisy somehow, even though we have like 5 minutes of recorded music.
Right.
It's quality, not quantity.
That's what I like to think.
Yeah.
How did you guys make that video?
A friend of Chris and John's is like
Michael Gold.
Yeah,
he's a amateur filmmaker. He just finished. I think he's still editing his first feature length film, but he's a friend of the band, and he helped us work through a concept and then shoot the video. So we were really lucky to have that connection, and he was great.
And it's like. It's like hands.
Yeah.
Whose hands are those?
Whose hands are those?
Those are John's hands. Okay. Yeah.
What was the concept for that? Just like
it was
creepy stuff.
I don't know. I think John. There was something deeper to it for John, but I wasn't really involved as much in the concept.
Yeah. John thinks very deeply about a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. He has a master's in philosophy.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So there was a lot going on there.
Yeah, we talk about some of it. Some of it are just like, all right, that's fine. Yeah, it is what it is. It's cool.
Yeah.
We're fine with it.
Yeah.
And so do you have any gigs coming up before December, or is that your next one?
Well, we have nothing confirmed yet.
Okay.
We have like, I don't know, a couple things. Yeah,
a few things in the works, but I think the next one for now is in December.
Yeah.
December 7th.
December 7th. It's a Thursday at PA's Lounge in Union Square.
Cool. Yeah. And do you have a target date for the full length?
Not for release. We're trying to record in January or February.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe like 6 months.
Yeah, it might be a little while, but yeah, still working on it.
Just finishing up some writing by Jamin.
Okay. we had another band in and they were like, we're gonna stop predicting dates because we missed them by months.
I know,
so it's not
tough.
Kind of pointless.
It's tough.
And so you mentioned your Instagram account, DivaCar Band.
Mm-hmm.
And then where else are you guys on social media?
We have a Twitter and a Facebook a group or something. But yeah, DivaCar Band on all social medias. Obviously, the Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Music's on there. Things. Yeah.
DivaCar.bandcamp.com.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you, in this age of social media, how do you find kind of marketing yourselves, publicizing yourselves? Is it through there is the best thing to do? Or is there other ways you go about it?
We've been struggling a lot with this, like trying to figure out the best way to go about that. And like we just talked about, we've been really lucky in a few ways. So, somehow, you know, we had this Noisy debut. We had this Metal Hammer feature. We've been lucky to be on public access TV to do interviews like this.
Yep.
But we're still kind of trying to work out how to reach out to fans directly. We started doing the Instagram recently.
Yeah, we're getting better at it, but it's, you know, it's just learning, trial and error,
playing shows and working social media.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
What, marketing?
Yeah, like how do you reach marketing? Out to fans
it is
via the internet?
Yeah. Well, Facebook's bad now, or it has been for a while, just because they choke off kind of their feed. And if you follow, you can follow a page, but unless you check off that thing about always see posts. And it, like I was talking earlier about what how we decided what to play when a couple of years ago, back when it was like just an hour of all local music. I follow 250 bands or whatever on Facebook. I could just open up every day, scroll through the feed, see if anybody published new music, which is great. And then one day Facebook was like, nope, you're only going to see like 3 posts a week. And
jeez.
So you had to literally open up every single band's page to see if they had put anything out. So
wow.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the eternal question, and everybody wants to do it and want to take advantage of it, but nobody's really an expert and knows what they're doing.
Social media advertising. Yeah, you just blast it out there, and I'm like, there it is.
It's easier to see, the Russian news, and there's a new song from a band that you like. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, my aunt posted a fantastic meme on Facebook this morning before I came in, and it was like, message from police, period. And it was like, hey, if you get an egg at your windscreen, which makes me think this is not like an American thing, it's windscreen, don't stop. It's like a new gang tactic, and they'll like kill you. You like get an egg thrown in your car, don't stop it. And I'm like, thanks, Auntie Susan. So that kind of stuff gets like big. So my thought is, we're going to start advertising the show as like, we'll just like tag on to some weird like
whatever's
hot right now, like indictments and the Trump thing. I'm like, also listen to the show.
That'd be nice. You just put that down at the bottom.
Just shoehorn into whatever's the top.
Send out like grandpa's favorite meme. Just put that at the bottom.
Like one of those like flag memes that at the bottom, like hashtag.
Yeah, perfect.
Brutal brunch. Yeah. Hashtag gross metal.
That
and they're like, wow,
gross
that's
metal.
Interesting.
Yeah. I like that.
And that's how it works. That's media.
Yep. It's rough. All right, so why don't we play Willing Waste?
Okay.
This is the song you have the video for, so we'll play that, and then possibly another one off of Mule, and then, you guys can pick another song, too. Nice playlist that you brought in, as usual. So,
all right.
Cool. So this is Willing Waste off of Mule by Diva Carr on Brutal Brunch. 1 second. All right, welcome back to Brutal Brunch here, WMFO Medford 91.5M, streaming live on WMFO.org. And you just heard Commitment to Complications. That was from the band Youth Code. Before that, we had Willing Waste from Divakar, who is here in studio with us.
Yes.
And now we're going to do, so regular part of the show is we do brutal or not brutal.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a thing. We discuss recent events, and then you have to decide if it's brutal or not brutal.
Okay.
For those who have not listened, brutal is a good thing. Not brutal is a lame thing. So you want to talk about, we talked about Manowar in the metal, this week in metal history.
We did.
And there's a tribute band, Womanowar.
Womanowar.
Which is a feminist version of them, but a tribute band, they like Manowar.
Yeah.
And they tour, and recently Manowar has sent them a cease and desist with the logo.
Very sad. They said that videos got pulled off of YouTube, and sucks.
They said that the logo, despite the WO being added, Manowar is like, oh, it's going to be confusing if fans see that.
It's, it's not confusing.
Huh.
No one's thought about Manowar except for me in the last...
So that is not brutal.
Yeah, not brutal, definitely not brutal.
And we have our good friend Dave Mustaine from the band from Megadeth. So do you see that he had a tick bite recently?
No, what happened?
So, I don't know.
He was fighting with everyone on Twitter again, is what I saw.
He was in the woods, got a tick bite, had to go home, got Lyme disease, and then he...
Lyme disease?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Jesus.
Allegedly. He said he was very tired, which is obviously one of the...
Signs.
Yeah.
But then he decided to go off on Metal Blade Records because they have something in a new book about...
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I saw that. He was fighting with Metal Blade because they put something in the book, but he said it was unauthorized, and I don't know.
It was about the amount of money that they were offered to... I don't know, something happened in the past. So then Chris Barnes steps in and calls Dave Mustaine an a-hole on Twitter.
It was a real mud fight amongst
Who would you pick between, if you had Dave Mustaine versus Chris Barnes, formerly of Cannibal Corpse, and now of
Chris
Barnes, under?
500%.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, what did Dave Mustaine respond?
He said, it takes one to know one, and then apparently Chris Barnes deleted his tweet.
It was real sassy response to each other on Twitter.
Yeah. Takes one to know one? Like,
Yeah,
nice eighth grade.
I was gonna say,
like, response.
Well, Dave wins with the "I'm rubber, you're glue." Whatever.
Yeah. Oh, I guess so. Yeah.
So
that must pain you to hear, though. That
I mean,
the three of us are in Chris Barnes' camp on this.
I'm not. I mean, I'm ironically Dave. You guys.
Dave Mustaine.
So another metal news: there was a children's party where a bunch of kids gathered in their little costumes, and then an employee showed up with a Corey Taylor. No, it wasn't Corey Taylor. No, I think it was a Corey Taylor Slipknot mask.
Okay,
Which apparently traumatized the children.
What?
And a mother complained, and they had to. It's been a lot of public apologies in the week news recently, and they had to apologize for this employee. So.
I'm gonna go with brutal.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah,
I'm into it.
Like, what part of it? The fact that the child trauma or the mask?
I think it's more the child trauma. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't want him to go too far, but I feel like a mask is harmless enough. Just a spooky mask that he wore to a party, and I think it's really funny that he traumatized these kids by just wearing a spooky mask, and then parents complains.
They're fine. There's worse things than seeing a spooky mask.
I know. That's the thing that's fun about Halloween is, like, you watch some scary movies, see a spooky mask, and then you're like, so fun, because it's going to actually be the end of the world, because it's like 80 in October, and like...
Yeah, I know. I know, right? All these hurricanes and everything. Yeah, nuclear war. Yeah.
Who cares, you know? I'll watch a slasher movie. I'll wear a Corey Taylor mask. I don't care.
Well, you're saying that, like, there's a lot more things. We were saying... Well, we're also saying, like, you turn on AMC and there's a Child's Play movie, so they have to bleep out half of what Chucky says. But then at the same time, you see heads being bashed in and intestines and stuff like
that. All the funny swears that Chucky has are like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Can I watch this head, like, real time deform with brain filling up? Of course. No.
It's such a weird standard.
It's awful. Like, if a zombie had a boob out or whatever in Walking Dead, they'd be like, forget it. Cancel the show.
I know.
Yeah. So you guys mentioned you're horror fans. So Ari, you said you're like Vincent Price guy.
Old school. Yeah.
What's your favorite?
Probably Mask of Red Death, or I don't know, that one's really good. Or like The Old Fly.
Okay.
Oh, The Old Fly. What
the new one's like I don't know. It was Vincent Price, like, pretty cheesy effects, because it was when it was. I mean, not quite as cheesy as the new Fly with Jeff Goldblum, but
I thought that was great.
Oh, New Fly was disgusting.
It was great, but it was like,
I know it was cheesy.
Yeah, Anything with Jeff Goldblum just immediately becomes a little bit cheesy.
Really?
I think.
When did Jeff Goldblum become cheesy? Or just he's just cheesy?
In my mind, he's just always cheesy.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Now he's like a handsome dreamboat, though.
Yeah.
He started cheesy, but now, like, he's just that's great.
Yeah, I agree.
He's a silver fox now.
He aged very well.
Yeah.
So Vincent Price.
Yep.
So you might be the first person in studio. Have you seen the movie The Tingler?
The Tingler. No, but have you heard
of the gimmick of the Tingler?
Yes,
the
Tingler.
Is that
the name of a movie?
The
Tingler.
The Tingler. The Tingler is a crab monster thing.
Oh wow!
And it's the only way you can get rid of it is, well, it lives on fear. So awesome
okay.
premise.
Yeah.
And the only way to get it away from you is to like scream at it.
Oh really?
So I'm gonna spoil like a 70-year-old movie, but basically Vincent Price is like a scientist, and the Tingler goes into a movie theater in the film, right? So you're watching it in a movie theater. Yeah. The Tingler is in a movie theater.
Yeah.
It crawls in the projection, and so you're like seeing the like crab thing like do its thing, and Vincent Price is just like scream as loud as you can, and then scream, and then the Tingler dies.
So the idea was everyone in the movie theater would scream.
It was like you were interacting with the movie.
Wow, that's super meta. That's interesting.
It's a genius movie.
Yeah,
that's right. I heard you talking about this last night. I had no idea what you're talking about.
Wow.
And Adam, are you into the old school stuff too, or more newer stuff, or all around?
I like the Italian horror stuff, like Dario Argento. Yep. Suspiria is.
Did you go to that midnight showing a couple weeks ago?
I RSVP'd interested on Facebook and didn't go. I wanted to go, but I didn't.
It was a good time, yeah.
But I love all those Dario Argento movies. Wow. They're like really, the colors are just amazing, and then they feel really surreal, but the scenes with the gore are just great. They're kind of artsy but really intense too. I just love that stuff.
And it's like the timing is slightly different on the gore in like those movies. Like if you watch like an American made horror movie, like I kind of know the beats, like I know kind of what's
going
to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, why is it not pulling away? Goblin is, Matt had it on the list, but Goblin is still a band that Goblin did all the music for. They're like
they're touring
somewhere.
Yeah. I forget where it was, but you can see those guys live. Just right. Doing the
old Italian guys just kicking ass.
Yeah.
So last thing, Brule Not Brule, that about horror movie related. There's a new Saw movie.
Yeah.
Jigsaw.
Yeah.
That idea that there's a new Saw movie and the Saw franchise itself, what's your take?
So on the one hand, I'm very happy that there's still like big horror movies that are being made that people are apparently going to see.
True.
Because I feel like there's not enough of that. There are a lot of really kind of bad horror movies. I don't know. And maybe Jigsaw is one of them. Maybe the whole franchise is. Whatever. I'm just happy that there are horror movies that are being made that people are going to see. On the other hand, I think this is like the ninth Saw movie. Like, I think they worked the premise to death maybe around 3 or 4.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine it being very good.
Yeah. I've only seen like the first one and then I don't know, the sixth or seventh one.
Yeah.
So I don't really care.
I'm not a Saw fan.
I'm gonna go with like 20% brutal.
Okay.
20% brutal.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's
about
right.
I like this horror movies you can go to the theater and be like, all right.
Yeah.
But I agree on Saw.
Yeah.
Don't
like. Yeah, guys. Yeah, the gore became too overkill, and they got away from the whole concept too. With like, basically, there's no escape from these.
Yeah,
it's just people dying, not the pseudo like life lesson thing.
There's no game to it.
Yeah, that was interesting in those early ones. Yeah, it was cool. It was a nice premise.
All right, so we're gonna play. So you guys requested a song, we'll play, and then we're gonna sign off with a Halloween song. So before we do go, thank you again.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
They are Diva Carr. And how can people find you on social media?
Diva Carr Band on pretty much everything. So Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and then divacarr.bandcamp.
Yeah.
Good.
So we're going to play Of Shadow and Slate by Peasant Hands. And Adam, this was your request.
This is my request. Okay. Yes.
And any specific reason?
I was friends with these guys in California, and I'm really happy with where they went with this new album.
Great. So, again, this is Of Shadow and Slate. You've been listening to Brutal Brunch on WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. Stay tuned for Detox Mansion coming up at 11, and we will see you in 2 weeks.